Hello and welcome to the Expanded Fandomverse Podcast, the only Star Wars podcast about you, the Star Wars fan. Hello, my name is Tim McMahon. I am your host, and you're in for a treat today. This is episode 7. No, not that episode 7. This is the 7th episode of the Expanded Fandomverse Podcast. That episode 7, the one you're thinking about, is still many, many months ahead of us. But are you counting the days? I know I am. What is this about, since it's not that episode 7? Well, this is the 7th episode of the Expanded Fandomverse Podcast, the show where I, Tim McMahon, a Star Wars fan, find complete strangers who are also Star Wars fans, and we sit down and we talk about, you guessed it, Star Wars. We're complete strangers. We have nothing in common, usually, other than our mutual love of that galaxy far, far away. And at the end of the hour, well, we're no longer strangers, we're good buddies, and that's it. Yeah, that's what the show is. Pretty simple, right? Well, thanks for tuning in. I've got a great show ahead of you, for you. Let's see, today our guests are Danny and William from Grand Zillow Creations. These are two young guys, art students who've started their own company. What attracted me to them, the thing about them that drew my attention is they are the first people I have seen who have created helmets, and they're working on the full costume, but right now they've created helmets of stormtroopers based on the Star Wars Rebels design. Star Wars Rebels is the new animated Star Wars show coming out the summer or fall on Disney XD. And the look of the show is, it's stylized. It has its own look. It pulls a lot from the Ralph McQuarrie art that we all know and love. But they also make the designs their own. The stormtroopers, when you see them, you can tell they're stormtroopers, but you can tell there's something different. They're a little different. They look great. And these guys, Danny and William from Grand Zillow Creations, are the first to make helmets based on this new design. So we're going to sit down and talk with them. But first, I've got a treat for you. Something new on the show.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Beware of the dark side.
My very first guest on the Expanded Fandomverse podcast was Mr. Dan White of Rhode Island. Now, Dan was a complete stranger to me. I posted online. I was looking for people who were Star Wars fans to come on the show. Dan replied right away, like within minutes of my post, I believe. He said, yes, I'll do this. This is a great idea. I'll do it. I'll be happy to talk to you about Star Wars. Well, that conversation never made it onto the first episode due to technical problems at my end. But Dan was gracious enough. He came back, and I think he was on the second or third episode, a brand new conversation. Go back, check the archives, have a listen to it. Dan was a lot of fun. He's opinionated, he's articulate, I thought it was funny. He amuses me. Anyway, as I said, he was a complete stranger to me before this all started. Since then, I think we've become Facebook friends. You know, I don't know the guy in person, never met him, but I follow him online. Dan amuses me. He's funny. He's opinionated. He's curmudgeonly. He's not an old man, but he's got that old man vibe, and I love that. So, when Star Wars news has popped into my feed recently, I keep thinking, I wonder what Dan thinks. What does Dan think about this? So, what I have done is I've gone back to Dan and said, hey, would you like to come on the show again? Whenever Star Wars news pops up, and just give your opinion. And of course, Dan, being the gracious guy he is, he says, sure, I'd love to. Think of me as your Andy Rooney. You know, the old 60 Minutes at the end, there'd be the grumpy old man, Andy Rooney, giving his opinion about anything and everything. So Dan is going to be my Andy Rooney for this show. So like I said, anytime news pops onto my feed about Star Wars, he's going to be the guy. So to wrap this back around to the beginning of the show, this is the 7th episode, and big news this week about the real episode 7. They finally officially announced the main cast. Wow. it was good to finally get confirmation on some some actors we've known, if you've been following the rumors, but there were some other surprises there. And I was wondering, what does Dan think? So I said, Dan, what do you think? Come on the show, tell me. So let's listen now as Dan White gives us his opinion on a new segment we like to call
Chewing the Power, Chewing the Cables, Power Cables with Dan White. Dan White.
Watch out! It's all right. It's all right. Yeah, what I thought. Minock. Chewie, check the rest of the ship. Make sure they're no more attached. Chewing on the power cables.
Minox.
Go on inside. We'll clean them off if there are any more.
Some big chunks of news were handed down recently by Lucasfilm, and of course, the fan community has its opinions, but here's the correct one. Mine. For the expanded fanverse, I'm Dan White, chewing on the power cables. Saying it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan has never been truer, as it was announced this week that the original cast is back. Nothing really surprising, but it's good to hear, like when your mom tells you she loves you. Harrison Ford is back, and rumor has it, he negotiated 2 new Indiana Jones films just to put ink on paper. Can you imagine being that one guy who gets to play the 2 guys that everybody wants to be, but hating playing one guy so much that you have to be guaranteed another shot at playing the other guy? Poor Harrison, such a hard life. At least now we know it won't be Indiana Shia in the search for the lost integrity. A bearded Mark Hamill, who looks like he's been clocking in some serious hours at the gym, will be able to act in front of the camera again, not just a microphone. And Carrie Fisher, who's 57. Stop making fun of her. Seriously, stop. It's not funny. Returning are the easily replaceable Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker, who will continue to barely tolerate each other on and off screen. Peter Mayhew is back, and will be supporting his brand new pair of knees, which is nice, but let's be honest. I would put serious credits on our Wookiee pal making the ultimate sacrifice and clearing the path for a new alien sidekick played by, obviously, Andy Serkis. You may not know that name, but you've already seen Andy play Gollum in the Lord of the Rings franchise and King Kong in King Kong. Well, you may not have seen King Kong because nobody saw King Kong. Andy is an expert at having ping pong balls glued to himself, so any CGI monstrosity they give us will at least move realistically. The next actors are harder to pin down, as this is a new story, and while we may have the faces, the characters are still a mystery. There's John Bigoya, mostly known for his television work, none of which I've seen, so all I can say is he brings some much-needed diversity to the cast. The same goes for Daisy Ridley, on both counts. She's mostly done TV and is the only new female in the new cast, but that doesn't bother me. Remember back when there were only 3 women in the Star Wars universe? One Princess Leia and the other 2 you can't remember without moving your lips? Damal Gleeson, who's best known as Bill Weasley in the Harry Potter series, is trading his broomstick for a lightsaber. While a decent actor, he may have been cast simply because there is already an action figure of him. There's Oscar Isaac, who's given us some really wonderful performances as the titular character and star of Inside Llewyn Davis and the morally ambiguous boyfriend in Drive, which are movies which don't have any spaceships whatsoever, so you may not have seen them. There's Adam Driver, who's rumored to be the villain of the film because he's ugly. He joined Isaac and Llewyn Davis and also had a short but memorable role in Steven Spielberg's Lincoln. Currently, he's co-starring in the HBO dramedy Girls, which is a lot like the 90s hit Friends, but everyone is horrible. Bringing some maturity to the new cast is Max von Sydow, who voiced Viggo the Carpathian in Ghostbusters 2. He also played Father Marin in The Exorcist, so he's apparently been really, really old his whole life. But most importantly, he played Ming the Merciless in the 1980s reboot of Flash Gordon. The irony here is beautiful. What sticks out most about this cast is, with few exceptions, they are not what I would call classically handsome, and thank the maker for that. Everyone in the original trilogy had such an individual look to themselves that, just like people in real life, we fell in love with them as individuals. Carrie Fisher with her heavy features, Harrison Ford with his simian brow, everyone looks like people. Good-looking people, but not Zac Efron pretty. Except maybe Mark Hamill, who fixed that with a quick motorcycle accident. On the other hand, everyone in the prequels looked like an underwear model, and I found that distracting. Sorry, Natalie. Being pretty is not acting. Sure, it's a wonderful time to be a Star Wars fan with all this new news, but there's not much more that can be said about this cast other than one is black, one is a woman, one is old, one is ugly, and one is Andy Serkis. Oh, and there's no Lando. But remember, this is going to be a new trilogy. Someone has to come save the day in the second act. Right?
That was our first installment of Chewing the Power Cables with Dan White. Dan will be back at the end of each show, or most shows, from this point forward. Put him at the beginning this week because it's his first time out. I want you all to get a taste of the wit and sarcasm and curmudgeonliness that is Mr. Dan White. But enough of that. Let's jump into this week's interview with Danny and William from Grand Zillow Creations. All right. Thanks for coming on the show, guys. Today we have the team from Grand Zillow Creations. Did I get it right?
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
You want to introduce yourself so I don't mispronounce names? I hate doing that.
So my name is Danny Jimenez, and my VOD's name is
William Pineda.
Well, and yeah, we are Grand Zillow Creations.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I discovered you guys on Facebook when you published a few weeks back that you had created Rebels-styled Stormtrooper helmets.
Yep.
You're the first ones out there I've seen do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a pretty interesting task to do, to say the least.
Now, I joined the 501st last year, and I've got the bug. I have a Stormtrooper costume, but now I want all the Trooper costumes out there. And I saw your stuff. I'm like, that's what I want. That, you know, my mouth started watering. I started lusting for that. And you guys just have the helmet, right?
Yeah, just for right now. We just recently started, actually. That was our first helmet that we've done.
It looks beautiful. I'm going to include some links on my site. But tell me, let's start with the helmet. How did you go about creating that?
Well, me and Will, we first came across it as soon as they announced it. And we rummaged around and we saw that there was some concept art pieces that we could have used for references. It was very limited because when we started it, it was right when it just announced. So there was very limited images. So there's still some tweaks that we need to do because they're just now releasing some more stuff. But Will lives in Florida, so he came up during break, and we got things together and we started. He helped me with the sculpt and everything and pretty much went from there.
Did you find that you were hampered by the lack of reference material?
Yeah, we both were. Yeah.
So this is like version 1.0. Do you think you'll have another version down the line that might be more accurate?
Possibly, yeah. For the moment, I would say we were discussing that just a little bit before we started the call, and we're gonna have to put things together during the next few weeks, see if we can get another mold going.
Now, can I ask you guys to walk me through the process of how you created, how you sculpted, and then I don't know what steps you took. Like I said, I'm new to costuming. I've seen a lot of guys online who create stuff, and I'm jealous because I don't have the artistic skill or the technical know-how. So as a complete idiot, tell me how you create it from step one to the final product, if you don't mind.
Well, I don't know. Well, first, there's many different ways you can go about it, really, because each armor maker has their own little style, I guess you can say.
Well, what's your style? Let's go with your style.
Right now, we use this kind of clay called monster clay, and we just build it up. We have a bunch of it, probably like, I think, 20 pounds, would you say? 20 libs?
Yeah.
And then we just build it up on a container, and then we just shape the head of the helmet. And then from there, we make a mold, and we use silicone RTV, and we make a border around the clay, which we can just put it in. And from there, we just add the RTV onto one side, and then we make the mother mold on, which is like a covering or shell, so that way the silicone doesn't bend or anything when you're slush casting. And then we, once you finish the first half, you take apart the border, and then you flip it, and you put another, or you start the back of it. And then once you're finished, you you drill holes around the little ring that you leave, so that way it's you can enclose it better. Mm-hmm. And from there, you pretty much have like an opening when you flip it, or have it upside down. You put, I think it's called 65D. It's a urethane resin, plastic, and you slush it around and get your arm workout going. And then, yeah, from there, you let it sit and pull out your helmets.
That easy, huh?
No, it sounds easy. I wish it was that easy.
You do make it sound easy.
Oh, man.
Was this something you – are you guys professional artists? I mean, are you going to art school? Are you trained? Or is this something you just taught yourself along the way?
Right now, I've been doing art since I was a youngling, and I picked it up from my father. And I'm actually going to college right now for illustration, and I'm kind of shifting classes to do a little bit more sculpting. And Will, he's actually in Florida, so he's going to pick up on what are you going to do, Will?
Well, you know, we got some plans in the future that I'm probably going to pick up on the engineering department, like you said. Well, we cannot say too much about it right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of plans that we're going to be incorporating onto this company. So, yeah, he's going to pick up on engineering. So that's going to be a really big help on his part as well. So
now there's two of you. And as you mentioned, you're miles apart, one in Florida, one in Michigan, right?
Yeah.
How do you break up the duties of the creation of this helmet? How did it fall? Who did what?
As we started, he used to live here first before he moved down there. But what we do right now, since I have most of the stuff, this is, I guess, our home base at the moment. So most of the stuff is here. And what I do the art part of it to an extent. And then whenever he comes to visit, he picks up on some of the stuff. But at the moment, I make anything art related. And then when I post it, he promotes it and he sets it up. And let him know about how you distribute it around pages and stuff.
Yeah, pretty much the warlock is divided up to, like, you know, he does the artwork, most of it, and then he posts it on Facebook and all the websites. And what I do, pretty much, I just spread it around throughout the Facebook groups. There's a lot of Star Wars fan groups on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much our focal point.
I think every guest I've had on the show I found on one Facebook group or another. There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's the magic of Star Wars. It's like a big melting pot. It brings everybody together.
Oh, I'm definitely finding that. Now, the helmet that I'm in love with, is it wearable?
Yeah, it's wearable.
Yeah. Great. Do you have plans to go full armor in the future?
That's what we're actually trying to do during the summer, actually.
Awesome.
It'll be really nice since the armor is kind of simple. It's not too much of a hassle like clone armor, which we love, by the way. And it's a little bit, it's an easy step into that process for us. So in a sense, it'll be like a little walk-in for us. But yeah, we're actually planning on making the whole full suit.
Now, I don't know what's the proper way to ask this, but are you planning on selling it? And I know there's, like, with Lucasfilm, they've always, like, turned a blind eye as long as you weren't making too much profit. And if it was going towards the 501st, which is charity organization, how do you walk that line as businessmen as well as artists?
Well, that's, as you probably know, that's a delicate matter, bro. Right now, what we're probably going to do, we're probably going to try to associate with the 504 because, you know, they know more about that stuff than we do.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the direction we're heading right now towards the 504 to, you know, associate with them because a lot of them ask us for helmets.
Yeah, that's one thing that we'd definitely like to do because, I mean, in order to join the 501st, you're a part of the 501st, and you actually had to make your suit, right?
Yes.
So you can apply and get your number.
Right. you buy it sort of as a kit from a maker like yourself. And when I was first researching the 501st and how to get into it, even on their message boards, they're very hush-hush about makers.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, here's an email address. Send a note to this guy, and maybe he'll get you on a list.
Very confidential.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm fascinated with these guys, and like yourself, who are the makers. But at the same time, it's like you got to know the right guy to get in.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep it at a delicate matter, so we won't have to. Yeah.
I hope I'm not blowing your cover before you even start.
No,
we're good so far.
And I just want to say now, if you need a model or you need an in, keep my name on file. Have you had any other experience with armor creation, or is this your first attempt?
Well, personally for us, it's actually it's our first attempt. But my father, I think a couple years back, he made his go on one of the Beehive Troopers of Episode 3.
Yeah.
The Urapau, yeah, the 212. He did a suit of that one, and I have a couple photos of that one up on the page. But that's pretty much the only helmet the only suit that we've gone to.
Yeah.
To actually make.
And it's actually funny how the first helmet that we done together, like I was surprised at the amount of controversy a lot of people did not like the helmet, and people such as like yourself, like it.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that when I went on the message boards of different costuming groups and 501st related stuff after Rebels was announced and the artwork came out. A lot of the people were like, "No, that's I don't like the look of that. It's horrible." Not talking about your work, just talking about the design of the Stormtroopers. But then some old timers were like, "Yeah, you guys all said the same thing when the Clone Trooper animated version came out, when the Clone Wars animated Clone Troopers were first shown." People were bad-mouthing that, but yet now there's a huge section of the 501st that has Clone Wars-inspired armor and animated-styled armor. It's a whole
love it. Oh.
Yeah. So it's my opinion that you give it a couple years, a year or two, people will change their opinion once the show is out and they start to love it.
I think the main thing about that is the whole Disney hostilities.
Since
Disney bought out Lucas, it's just a lot of people are still kind of grunged on that one, and they don't really like it. So when it comes to that design, I mean, it's Ralph McCurry based. So
it's not that different. And Dave Filoni, who I know is loved by the community, is still behind this new show.
Yeah, the whole group is actually the original cast of the Clone Wars is actually transferred over and starting to work on this show.
So. Yeah, a lot of the behind the scenes, a lot of the same artists. So I think the community will come around, and once more people do, and they see your work, I think there'll be a waiting list to for people who want your product if you're selling.
I mean, that'll be that's actually one of our main goals, to see if we can get enough suits out there. So actually during the premiere, they'll be suited up Stormtroopers like it's supposed to be. It'll be nice to have the little kids see the actual premiere that way and be more immersed into it rather than just your normal TKs.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there when you mentioned little kids. I'm an older fan. I was 5 when the first movie came out, so I'm an old guy. So to me, the original Stormtroopers, that's what I wanted to be when I joined the 501st.
Oh yeah.
And at first I was sort of like a little snobby towards all the Clone Trooper guys. Like, oh, that's, that's not real Star Wars. But then you go out with these guys and the little kids love them.
They love
the clones. So yeah, right there. Get the little kids on your side and you'll be huge.
That's the thing about it too. Is when we read about almost all the comments, especially me. I wanted to get really into it. So, when we were reading them, most of them were saying, like how you mentioned, that it ain't really our design that we did. It's the aesthetics of the the design that they did, you know.
Yeah.
Rebels. But there was one comment in particular that stuck out the most, that one, I think it was one of the 501st members for sure. He was saying that he prefers the TKs, the original TKs from the original trilogy, but since these suits are more like caricaturized, like they're more for they're a cartoon, they're animated.
Right.
But since these suits are more for the kids, he would wear these anytime, but he still prefers his TK, but he'll still wear these for the kids and trooping them. But it technically falls on that. It's more, I mean, you can't really hold hostilities towards the Rebel show when it's mostly for charity events that you're doing it for.
Right. I agree with that. Like I said, I'm new to 501st. I've only gone out in public trooping three times now.
You're going to have to tell us on how that goes.
Oh, it's great. You become a rock star to these little kids. I've had little kids come up. We were at a comic book store, and they asked me to sign their comic book because there was a stormtrooper on the cover. They wanted my autograph. And, of course, I'm not signing it with my real name. I'm signing it with my TK number.
Yeah.
But they loved it. Yeah. Little kids come up. They want their picture taken with you. I know it's not me. I know it's the suit. I know it's the character. But really, your ego gets really inflated. It's awesome. I highly recommend it. Do you guys...
Was going to have to brush up on his signature skills, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, and it's horrible because you can't see very well out of the helmet. And you get gloves on that don't really... You know, they're not as manipulative as you think they would be. Yeah, it's hard. I would recommend putting on the costume. So do you guys plan on, you know, suiting up yourselves?
Oh, that's going to be
definitely. You probably be clone troopers, though.
Oh, clone troopers, not your own creation?
Well, yes, but based on clone armor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me and Will have our own little CT names and ARC trooper names, so it's gonna be interesting to see how that transitions into armor that we make or anything down the line.
Yeah,
it'll be really cool.
So you've created the Rebel Stormtrooper, and you're about to work on the full body armor. Do you want to branch out into another creation? Is there anything out there that you haven't seen someone else making, or is there a character that you've seen someone else make that you said, "Hey, we can do better"?
I don't know. I wouldn't really say better. there's some armor makers that are actually really good. I don't know if we should bring up names, but
yeah, go for it. Who are your favorites?
There's an armor maker named KW Designs. Actually, that guy's amazing. He's the guy that pretty much brought us into this whole thing. And, we were inspired from his work, and he does amazing stuff. Most of his clone trooper armor that you see out there is actually from him. So,
when you say he brought you into this, you mean he inspired you, or have you actually worked and talked with him?
Oh, wow, yeah. We're hoping to do that soon, but he inspired us into it.
Yeah.
Like our idol, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
There's some suits that we'd like to create. I mean, still top secret, you know, but
yeah,
there'll be some that we really, really want to do. I mean, what about you? Like, is there any suit that you like, or anything in particular?
You know, I want them all.
Yeah, the same with us.
I have the TK, and there was a waiting list, and I received my armor at the very beginning of October last year.
Yeah.
And I really wanted it done in time for Halloween. So I sort of rushed through building it, and I wasn't completely happy with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm on the waiting list now for a second TK suit.
Ooh.
I'm going to make the second suit better than the first, and then I'm going to convert the first suit into a sand trooper.
Because
the first one's already a little dinged up, and I just all I see is the blemishes. And my friends think it's fine. Other 501st members think it's fine. All I see is the faults. So because of that, I'm going to, you know, ding it up even more, dirty it up, and make it a sand trooper.
That's kind of funny that you bring that up too. The 501st is actually pretty strict with their requirements when it comes to the suits.
Oh yeah.
You know, one of the big little secrets that that the TKs have is that most of the suits that actually were in the movies, they actually had their faults.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to really worry about much on the TK side.
Yeah, you know, with the Blu-ray version of the movies, you can slow it down, pause it, and you can really look at the details and see the faults. But George Lucas himself has said that the guys in the 501st, most of their costumes are better than what was on screen.
Oh, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
So I want to be better than what was on screen.
You want to be better. Oh, you have your own arsenal pretty soon.
Yeah. I think I'll stop right now for those two and then wait for you guys. You guys will be my third. Hint, hint. No.
We'll see what we can do. We'll see.
I contacted the guy. There's one guy right now. There's two. Actually, there's two, but I contacted both and one isn't making right now.
Yeah.
But there's only one guy making snow troopers, and I thought those would be easy to do.
Oh, wow.
But it's like a 18-month, almost 2-year waiting list. It's extremely long waiting list. So
yeah, the whole TK side of it is we did a little recon on that, and then the whole TK side of it's still kind of murky to an extent. There's supposedly actual pages that are really full-fledged and open that they sell. Some of them are actually affiliated with Lucas as well.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the whole TK side of it, it's got to do some digging.
I'll include it on my website and I'll send it to you guys afterwards. But there is a site just about the TK armor, and they have a page in their forums that, like, here's the list of the top 8 makers out there. And once I found that, it was like hitting the mother load. Like, all right, this is the place to start.
Yeah, once you get in, it's a gold mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we generally like the clone troopers a little bit more. I think the armor is more aesthetically pleasing to us. Like, Will, his favorite's more Republic Commandos. So
I was going to ask about that, because you guys have mentioned the clones a lot, and you're definitely a lot younger than me. May I ask, how old were you when the prequels came out?
I can't.
99 really was when Phantom Menace came out, so we saw the clones 2002.
I would say I lived in New York, in Brooklyn, New York, when I was born there, and then from there I came to Michigan when I was 6, and around that time, that's when Star Wars started booming around, blowing up and everything around our place, but I would say, yeah, around anything from 10 to, I believe.
So, yeah, so you guys are definitely the prequel generation, you know,
coming. We had the VCRs and everything, the VHSs and everything of the original trilogies back home. So, I mean, Will, how was your experience with it? Yeah, I think I got him into it when he first came.
Well, yeah, well, you know, I was born in Cuba, so... I actually didn't know much about Star Wars until 2006. I was 4 years old then. And then when I came here. And then, Danny here, he got toys and gun chains and all that stuff. So that's how I got hooked on it. So I actually watched the first movie, the second movie, and the third movie, you know, the prequels first before the original trilogy. So I actually did not know that Anakin Skywalker was Darth Vader. I didn't know anything about that until, later.
So he actually saw him in order. And believe it or not, this kid right here, he would actually, there would be days that I would come home from class and he would be there just playing with my toys. Oh, man.
That's the best kind of friend to have when he lets you play with his Star Wars toys.
Oh, man. Yeah, we grew up. We grew up together liking it, yeah, so that's pretty awesome. Much how I went into it.
So I always like to ask guests, how they got into Star Wars, and you guys have answered that already. I like to ask, what you're doing now with your Star Wars, your love of Star Wars, and that's pretty obvious with the armor you're working on.
I'm not sure.
Is there anything else besides the armor creation that you know, you would say, hey, I'm a Star Wars fan and this is how I show it? Or you...
I don't know. How would you go about it, Will?
Well, we got big plans for the future, but for right now, all we got planned, you know, like maybe, you know, like medium term goal, just armor, helmets, and Danny, you know, he paints a lot of like Star Wars things, you know, like, you know, and he did a concept art of a Musa puppy, was it?
Yeah.
3D.
There was other than, you know, your occasional T-shirts every now and again, but we'd like to, well, since I'm illustration and I'm studying, I'm almost finishing up, but what we do is there's sometimes, you know, scenes that you don't really normally see from, I guess, various like novels or anything like that. We try to create those, like just the one that we have on our page right now. It's as the cover photo.
Yep.
Is three clones. And that's, I guess, I went in with the idea of me and Will and then another one of our close friends, Rainey. And what we did was we established that scene in Aiden and Woodya as a Spec Ops, you know, team coming in to fortify or destroy some of Nuke Gunray's droids and stuff. So, you know, but other than that, we technically... I mean, we established ourselves as the page, but other than saying that we love Star Wars. But,
yeah. Well, I think your helmet creation, you know, has blown a lot of people away, and that's probably more than enough.
I hope so. We were aiming for that, but...
So Grand Zillow Creations isn't just Star Wars. You have a lot of other illustrations on there, other works of art you've done.
Yeah.
And you refer to it as a company that you have plans for in the future.
Yep.
What do you want to talk about that? You want to promote yourself and your page and what you hope to do, what you want to do?
If you'd let us.
Yeah, go ahead. Plug away, as they say.
At the moment, right now, we sell, you know, we sell prints as well for, you know, other artworks that we do on the side. But technically, it's we're not taking commissions at the moment, but we would offer that as well once we get more room, more wiggle room.
Yeah.
But technically, our main aspect or our main approach or direction that we're trying to go for is mostly Star Wars based. That's what we love. That's what we want to do since we were kids. But we offer anything art related.
Yeah, one of the hurdles that we have to face with Star Wars, you probably know, is the licensing process, and you cannot work as freely.
Is that something you'd want to go out and get? Would be to, I don't even know how the business works. How would you get a Star Wars license so that you could sell work legitimately?
I'd say I guess you just got to apply and hope for the best. Yeah. From the looks of it, but I think we just have to make some phone calls or some emails, see what we can get a hold of. But I think that's usually what it is. Most people that I've come across have, they make their work and then they end up combining it with somebody that has a license, like some sort of company that has a license, and they just sell their work to them so then they could publish it from there because they're affiliated with Lucas.
Now, here's a hypothetical question. As artists and businessmen, would you rather work for yourself selling Star Wars art with a license, or would you rather work for Lucasfilm in some way or another?
What do you think?
Well, I think I don't, you know, I don't want to speak for the both of us, but personally, I think that I would like to work, you know, for ourselves, because I think we will have the freedom to do, you know, pretty much any project that we want, you know, and working for Lucas. You know, we will have to follow a schedule. We kind of like to think outside of the box.
I'd say me and him usually see eye to eye when it comes to these kind of things. So usually if you're more freelance, you get a little bit more leniency when it comes to your projects. But there's always, you know, pluses and negatives when it comes to that kind of stuff. I mean, you get the title if you're working with Lucas. It's a great title. But if you're working more freelance, you get more of a leniency when when it comes to whatever you want to do. But, I mean, you still got to check in with them, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I've covered your past and the present, so I always like to ask about the future. So just, there's so much going on with Star Wars right now. We're about to, you know, get a whole new wave of films and such. I just want to leave it up to you guys. What's your opinion? What's your thoughts, your fears, your hopes about the future of Star Wars?
Well, there's for right now, since the most recent one that's coming out would be Star Wars Rebels, yeah. Which by the looks of it, they're hitting it right up. Yeah. They're hitting the nail on the head with the concept of Ralph McQuarrie. Even the animation style of it has that feel of Ralph McQuarrie's original painting style. And from after that would be, what would be, Battlefront? Is it coming out?
Yeah.
Battlefront. The game Battlefront or the movies, one of the two. I think the game will be coming out before the movies. But yeah, we're looking really forward to that game. We've been waiting for that for the longest. I mean, we still play for PlayStation 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I just saw some guys online who still have a server going, so you can play PC version online. Yeah,
the game's amazing. Yeah, so we're really looking forward to that game. And then the movie wise, I don't know. Well, it's gonna be interesting to see what kind of story they actually base it off of. Because I mean, they still got a lot of wiggle room to jump off of any tangent that they like.
Yeah, you
know, it'll be interesting to see kind of armor comes out of it and everything.
Yeah, the big news this week was, I guess they've officially said, they've made it 100% clear, it's going to be all new original. They've sort of wiped the slate on the expanded universe. So it's going to be all new.
They started filming too, right?
Yeah, second unit stuff, backgrounds and stunt work, that kind of thing. No main cast filming yet, but that's coming next month.
Yeah. I know Will loves the game. He's really looking forward to that. I don't know what his views are on the movies as much.
Some of my fears are actually from the movies. And even the Star Wars Rebels, I'm very passionate about, you know, expanded universe storylines, like, you know. So, like, Republic Commandos, the book, I'm a fan of those. So my biggest fears, I would say, would be, like, you know, in the movies and the Star Wars Rebels, for them to like contradict the, you know, certain storylines, you know, that's kind of my sometimes. Yeah. You know, Danny knows how I get about those.
Oh yeah,
right.
Works up a steam with that one.
Well, tell me more. I want to hear this story. What gets your goat? What makes you angry?
Well,
he doesn't really like it when and things like, I guess, intertwine in a sense, but yeah, I'll let him speak on that one.
For example, the era between, you know, the Jedi Purge and when the Clone Wars ended, you know, there was some storylines. I cannot think of anyone in particular right now, but like they just run over it, my opinion. And then, well, they did it in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and afterwards. And also, there's times where certain characters die. They were supposed to be dead by one point, and
it's a jump. Sometimes it jumbles up and it's a mess.
Yeah.
But just recently, actually, they posted on the Star Wars main page, and they said that they're going to, Kathleen Kennedy started up this group within the ranks of Lucasfilms, and supposedly they were gonna, correct me if I'm wrong, they were gonna adjust, or they were gonna put together the stories of the expanded universe into a frame that's actually canon within itself, I believe.
Yeah, if you go back to StarWars.com this week, they've updated that, and they haven't been very specific, in my opinion. But they very much make it sound like, and a lot of people are reading it the same way, that they're wiping the slate. It's like the only things that are canon are the six movies Clone Wars and Rebels, and then everything from this point on will now be the new canon.
Wow.
And all the old, yeah, I know. And all the old stuff they're putting under the headline of Star Wars Legends, they're calling it. So it'll still be around.
That's a nice catchphrase, though.
Yeah. It'll still be around, but it'll be like an alternate expanded universe. So yeah. This will be Expanded Universe 2.0.
It's gonna be interesting to see how the direction that they go, especially under new management and everything too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, would are you a Battlefront fan?
Yeah. I played the first two.
Oh man!
And I'm looking forward to the third. I'm the kind of fan that I'll play any Star Wars game. I'll try it, even you know the horrible Gungan games they had for PC.
Nobody likes Jar Jar. Oh goodness.
Do you still play online?
I haven't played Battlefront Online in a long time now.
Oh, we were hoping we didn't come across you in any of the maps or anything. You can get pretty brutal out there.
Oh yeah.
There was one match where we would be, it would be on Hoth and it would be Hunt. And we'll set up the timer as high as it goes with as much people as you can get on there. And we there was one time that we actually cornered a fellow Wampa, and we actually just slapped him around in the corner for a little while. I mean, it was pretty brutal, but I mean, it's part of the game, I guess. I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't come across this on.
I love the games, but I'm often very bad at when it comes to player versus player type games.
Yeah,
I was playing Knights of the Old Republic last year.
Oh,
and is it no? What's the new one?
Yeah, I think it is Knights of the Old Republic.
That was the no, it's just called The Old Republic. That's the online one. And I built this character, and I got to a high level, and I thought, all right, I'm powerful. I'm ready to go out to the player versus player areas. And no matter what I did, I would just get slapped down like a little baby. Just would be put in my place. And so I would regroup, and I'd rethink my strategy, and I'd go out there and try something new, and then bang, I'd be smacked down again. That happens to me a lot in games, but I don't let it get me down. I keep coming back for it. So if we have met on Battlefront before, I was probably the guy you were all laughing at. So
I don't think so. We usually run pretty well with the new recruits and anything like that whenever we join servers or anything like that. It's pretty well. I mean, most of the people that are actually online, they have their own little tricks.
Yeah.
Even if they're new or not. But I'm gonna go old school. Do you remember Star Wars Galaxies?
Oh yes.
Oh man, that game was amazing back in the day. It was really, really good.
I loved it that you had to make your own fun. There like wasn't a lot to do, so you had to make your own fun.
It's almost like Sims with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to really enjoy it too much, like when I was actually on the move and really, really out there.
Yeah.
I got to play it, really enjoy it when it was near the ending of when they were going to start closing it down. They let new recruits or new joiners a 30-day pass, and then you can just go wherever you wanted. Usually when you first start off, you only start off at, I think, Tansari Station, is it?
When I played it, you could choose your planet, and you were stuck at one place, you know, planet. And then you had to build up enough money to buy passage to another planet or create a ship. Like, you had to build ships when I was playing that game.
Yeah, then that was when it was still...
That was, yeah.
Yeah, when I started off, usually you'd start off at the Tansari Station if... Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's the name of it. And then from there, once you do all the missions and level up, I think you couldn't even go past 20 or 15, I believe.
Yeah.
And then they'll ship you off to Tatooine.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think Dudo, or well, Will, didn't really get to enjoy that game as much.
Good times. So before you came on, I was worried that we would have to have this whole conversation in Mando from you to explain to the audience when we were messaging back and forth before we had this interview. You always would start and end with a Mando phrase. And I love that. That was great. Because to me, those the clone trooper books, the Republic Commando ones, yep. that whole storyline that sort of got not finished. I love those.
We can elaborate on that with you.
Yeah, those were my favorites. It sounds like they were for you guys too.
Yeah, we love the whole, like, how vast you can get into the world of Star Wars, especially languages wise. The galactic basic standard of their language in the Mandoa. Usually we like to incorporate some of that language into our everyday. See if we can use it in like proper sentences and structures and everything.
Before we connected tonight, I actually went on a couple sites and I didn't realize how much the language has evolved.
Yeah.
That people have added to it and have worked up, you know, linguistic rules. Have you guys gone that? I mean, like, for example, the Star Trek guys who all can speak Klingon fluently, or the Lord of the Ring guys who can speak Elvish. Have you guys gone that far yet? Can you speak Mandoa?
Bits and pieces. We need to brush up on it, but we got a page on the Star Wars Wikipedia that actually has the whole breakdown of the language.
Yeah. And you guys, you said you have the page. Is it something you created?
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
No, the professionals did that. Yeah, we need to sit back and use it every now and again.
Yeah, it's my goal someday to have an article on Wikipedia. I haven't found anything. I'm not either. I'm not as hardcore as I think I am, or they've already covered everything. So,
I'm sure you can. Now you can probably be a hardcore editor.
Yeah.
Get in there and correct anything that's wrong.
So
it's a good page. It's a good page. Covers from the very beginning of Anakin to any story that you want to even go into. Sometimes some people even write their own thing, but then they get canceled out and edited.
Yeah. That's the power of the internet.
Yep.
So we've been talking for about 40 minutes. I'm gonna wrap things up now. I always like to end the show by asking a non-Star Wars related question. But for the life of me, I can't come up with anything.
I mean, it'll probably end up being connected to Star Wars somehow.
Yeah. So this is pretty vague. Besides Star Wars and art, what else are you guys into? Any other pop culture things or passionate about any sort of, I don't know, anything?
me and Will are more of the military kind of guys, I guess you can say. We like paintball and everything like that. So
nice. I've played many rounds of paintball myself. Do you have your own weapons, or do you always rent when you?
Got the chance to play. I don't think.
Oh, really? That's
either. Yeah, we're side spectators.
You got to try it. It's a lot of fun. All right. Well, guys, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me tonight about all things Grandzilla Creations and. I really, really seriously look forward to seeing more of your work in the future, especially the Rebel-style Stormtrooper. Please keep me in mind. If you got a waiting list, I want to be on it.
Just stand by. You'll probably see some more updates within the next month, actually. Well, the next couple weeks. If I can get things moving, hopefully. Wish me luck. But, yeah, me and Will are going to be putting our foot down on that one. So.
Can't wait to see it. So great.
Thanks for having us.
No, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on the show.
Episode 7!
No, not that episode 7. This was the 7th episode of the Expanded Fandomverse Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I want to give a thanks to a couple of folks. Of course, to Danny and William from Grand Zillow Creations. Two young guys. I wish them a lot of luck in their future endeavors. I can't wait to see a full set of their Star Wars Rebels-styled Stormtrooper armor. I want it. I can't wait to go trooping with the 501st with that armor someday. So, William and Danny, please, like I said before, keep me in mind. Put me on your waiting list. And also, big thanks to Dan White. Dan White, former guest and now contributor to the Expanded Fandomverse podcast. You'll be hearing more from Dan most weeks, each week, hopefully. But we'll see. Tell me what you thought of his insights. Send us an email, theexpandedfandomversepodcast@gmail.com. Visit our site, theexpandedfandomverse.com. Catch us on Twitter at TEFandomverse. And we're also on Google Plus. We have a Facebook page, all that social media. We're there. Hey, Instagram, too. Post a couple pictures every now and then. Star Warsy stuff. Check it out. So that's it for this week. Star Wars week, it really was. It was May the 4th this weekend. And so I will end with that. And may the Force be with you.